All right, welcome to this special report about the attacks on Russia, the sabotage operations over the weekend, but actually the far bigger picture of how the West needs war. The West needs war, and by the West, I mean, of course, the UK government, the German government, French government, and the United States government. They all need war, and so they are desperately working with the CIA and British intelligence and Ukraine to cause so much damage, even civilian targets, trains, commuter trains, etc., in Russia, that Putin is forced into a reckless retaliation, like an overreaction, that would then allow the Western nations to play the victims. So, oh, look at mean Russia. They hit us with, you know, whatever, thermobaric bombs or nuclear weapons or Oreshnik missiles or whatever it is. They need to be able to blame Russia because the West has run the course of the dollar and the Western financial system. It is on the brink of total self-destruction. And they know they have to reset it. They openly talk about it, actually. They know they have to reset it. They have to crash the dollar debt instruments. They have to crash the treasury. They have to crash the Fed and replace it. They have to basically destroy the current banking system and then consolidate all the banks under just like four or five key banks that are allies of the government, like JP Morgan, for example. And in order to do all this and confiscate most of the wealth from the people, you know, the great taking, they need a war. They need something big. And so Putin, they hope, can be provoked into launching nukes. This is what the West desperately wants. And that is why these attacks are taking place against Russia right now over the weekend. Additional bombs were reported, too, in Moscow. I don't have the details on that. I don't know if it was rumor or confirmed, but there's a lot that's going on. Of course, we have the containers opening up with the drone attacks on the Russian airfields. That was pretty clever on the part of Ukraine. And I want to show you this diagram here from Amuse on X. So as you can see in this image, and I've talked about this before, where China could float, you know, container cargo ships close to the west coast of the U.S., and then those containers on top could just open up. And out of the top could be cruise missiles, short-range missiles, or drones that drop chemical weapons, nerve gas, biological weapons, whatever. That could be in the works, right? And I'm not saying that China is eminently going to do that. I think Pete Hegseth is wrong about China. I'm just saying that now this technology has been demonstrated by Ukraine, which means this tech is pretty widespread, and that means that essentially every major country, Russia, China, US, etc., every major country has probably figured out how to do this, how to take a 40-foot container and pack a bunch of missiles and drones in it, and then launch it once they get close to their targets. So this is a major threat to US infrastructure. You can imagine if there are trucks parked in just parking lots near electrical substations or near refineries or near nuclear power plants or water treatment facilities or in California, natural gas power plants that power the pumps for the water to pump the water over the mountain into Los Angeles, etc. Those could be taken out in an instant with one strike from one container, and the container may already be parked there for all we know. This is a whole new threat of warfare, and I don't like it because it also places truck drivers at great risk of being, you know, accused of smuggling weapons around, when of course even the truck drivers in Russia reportedly had no idea what their cargo was, because they're not, you know, come on, truck drivers don't open up every container and look at all the cargo. Who has time? You know, they're paid to deliver a 40-foot container from point A to point B, as long as it's not hazardous cargo. You know, obviously there are laws, Department of Transportation laws for hazardous cargo, etc. But if a company is trying to deceive the truck driver and saying, no, it's just like weightlifting tools or whatever. It's sporting gear. It's refrigerators. It's microwaves. I mean, who's going to ask? They're just going to drive the container and drop it off where they're supposed to drop it off. So this is a whole new level of warfare. Now, the question at this moment is whether Putin is going to retaliate in a major way. And also, there's a corollary question, which is, will Russia even attempt to negotiate peace with Ukraine? And I believe that that answer is no. I think that Russia has already come to the conclusion that Ukraine, and frankly the West, the U.S., cannot be negotiated with, that it's a pointless exercise because no matter what agreements you reach, they don't mean anything because the West never keeps its word on anything, especially things involving Russia. I mean, look at the Minsk agreements, etc. The anti-ballistic missile treaties and a lot of other agreements that were reached about, you know, the fall of the Berlin Wall and East Germany versus West Germany at the time. And all those agreements have been violated by the West. Of course they have. So the West is not a reliable negotiation counterparty. That's what Russia has concluded, I believe. And because of that, I think that Russia, and I heard Scott Ritter offer a very similar view. I think that Russia has decided that this war can only be concluded through military means. That is, to scale up the military, which Russia is doing, recruiting something like 30 or 40,000 soldiers a month, new recruits. I mean, that's a few hundred thousand a year that they've got coming online. I think Russia has decided they're just going to have to slog through this and fight, even if it takes a couple more years. They're going to have to conquer most of Ukraine. Now, can they do that? Well, certainly everything east of the Dnieper is, you know, readily conquerable, let's say, by Russia, as it's on the offensive right now, and it seems to be gaining a lot of traction. Ukrainian soldiers are no doubt fighting valiantly and courageously and intelligently as much as they can, given the lack of equipment, but they're just outnumbered, outgunned, outmaneuvered. You know, even the best soldier in the world can't stop, you know, a dozen fire teams coming at you from all kinds of different angles. So there's really not that much more Ukraine can do other than delay the situation and just make it more difficult for Russia to march forward. The U.S., the U.K., and other Western nations are clearly not going to be able to provide enough to allow Ukraine to beat Russia. And over the weekend, I think it was the finance minister of Germany came out publicly and said, we cannot defeat Russia. It's impossible to defeat Russia. This has to end in negotiation and diplomacy. He's partially right. It will have to end at one point with somebody signing a surrender is the way it's going to end. I guess you could call that diplomacy, but that's the way this is. It looks like that's the way this is going to end. But that ending may be very far away. Now, I want to show you some of these drone attacks that happened. Here's one video that shows this attack. I want you to see this. Remember, these are drones coming out of containers that were parked nearby, then flying through the air and then bombing airfields in Russia. So check this out.
Смотрите, что творится. Я не знаю даже, что это сейчас взорвалось.
Это, наверное, диалета. Это вон
этот. Еще один летит. Где?
Вон он по траектории. А как их не вычислят, откуда они летят?
And then right there at the very end, it showed you a photo of the truck that launched the drones or the container, and then also how those containers set themselves on fire. So they self-destructed, like Mission Impossible. And totally self-destructed to burn up all the evidence, of course. I want to show you another video taken from one of the air bases. Let's see, this is on the Belaya air base. And this shows some of the destruction of Russia's strategic nuclear bomber aircraft, the Tu-95s. Check out this video. So here you go. This is a video taken off security, off a security camera, or maybe it's drone footage. I can't tell. I think it's drone footage. But you can see multiple Tu-95 bombers there are destroyed and burning. Looks like at least four at this particular airfield. And, well, at least those last two are burning beyond being salvaged. They're gone. That's for sure. So since those aren't in production anymore, there's no way to really replace them. So those are just gone. Now, this matters for a very important reason, because there's something called nuclear parity when it comes to mutually assured destruction. Nuclear parity means that there's presumed to be peace when both sides are roughly equally matched in terms of being able to deploy nuclear bombs or nuclear missiles against each other. So the U.S. wouldn't want to attack Russia if the U.S. knew that Russia could attack back and bomb, you know, U.S. states or cities in Alaska or elsewhere. But that parity depends on Russia having a certain number of strategic nuclear bombers that can, you know, carry bombs, fly long distances, and deploy those bombs. Now, of course, Russia wouldn't want to bomb the U.S. either, knowing that the U.S. would launch many nuclear missiles back at Russia. So this is nuclear parity or mutually assured destruction. And when both parties believe they are equally matched, then neither party wants to risk initiating a first strike against the other party. But what happens when one party believes the other party has been severely compromised to where they cannot react? Well, the word out of Russia over the weekend is that these attacks on Russian strategic bombers are critical attacks on Russia's nuclear response infrastructure. And as a result, this is a very dangerous attack on that nuclear parity, and it puts Russia in a dire situation, really a critical situation, of wondering if they should initiate a first strike, since their ability to respond to a strike is being degraded through these drone attacks. And I think that's why these drone attacks were chosen to hit these specific strategic bombers, was to force Putin into that kind of a decision possibility, to try to force Putin to launch some kind of first strike. Again, that's what the West needs in order to cover their tracks for the great taking, the financial collapse, the collapse of the dollar, you know, the whole debt reset of the West. They need this war. So that's why these drones were unleashed against these bombers, in my view. Now, the strategic smart move for Russia, in my opinion anyway, would be to not overreact to this, but rather to retaliate in a way that matches the destruction. So this has been called Russia's Pearl Harbor. And clearly Russia is going to retaliate in some way. But if they retaliate with nuclear weapons, then that's obviously, you know, that's an exaggerated, aggravated, emotional reaction. But instead, if they retaliate with Oreshnik missiles that strike specific targets in European nations, if those targets are tied to this operation, this drone carrier operation, that is, if Russia can tie any location to that, then that kind of retaliation would be seen by the world as largely justified. You know, if someone punches you, you can punch them back. But if someone punches you, you're not allowed to shoot them in the face with a 12-gauge shotgun. See, that would be an overreaction. So Russia got punched, and now they're going to punch back. And they're going to punch back for the train sabotage, and they're going to punch back for the airfield sabotage, which is a very big deal, strategic nuclear degradation of their infrastructure. And if there have been other bombings or other sabotage events in Russia, then Russia's going to retaliate for those as well. So what are the likely targets for Russia's retaliation? Well, clearly, targets are going to be in Kiev. And wherever Russia can find infrastructure that's keeping the Ukrainian government operating, which could include more attacks on the power infrastructure, could include attacks on transportation infrastructure, maybe railroads, which have largely been spared in Western Ukraine. Maybe now Russia is going to target those railroads. We don't know, but that's a possibility. Or if Russia can tie these attacks to a specific NATO nation like Germany, or if Germany begins to launch Taurus missiles, or let's say to assist Ukraine in launching Taurus missiles, then clearly Russia is going to be justified in attacking the German factories that produce the Taurus missiles, or, you know, German military bases that are involved in the targeting or the training for the deployment of those Taurus missiles. So we very easily could see Russia striking German military bases, Polish military bases, Romanian bases. I doubt the UK because of the distance involved, but it's a possibility as well. I mean, the UK is probably the worst offender behind all of this, going back to Boris Johnson, who talked Zelensky out of a peace accord in 2022. So it's the Brits that have been running this whole thing, at least running point on it and trying to strong arm America into footing the bill, which has been successful so far. But don't be surprised if we see now major hypersonic missile strikes from Russia or even Oreshnik missile strikes, like 10 of them, hitting 10 military targets across Western Europe. Do not be surprised. I'm not saying for sure that's going to happen. Maybe that would be overkill, but don't be surprised if it does happen. And then the question would be, you know, how does the West react to that? Does the West go nuclear? Well, if the West goes nuclear from Europe, then Russia just nukes the smithereens out of Western Europe, and pretty much the UK is gone, and Paris is gone, and Berlin is gone, and, you know, military bases in all these countries, not Turkey, but I mean, like Poland and Romania, etc. They're going to be obliterated, absolutely obliterated by Russia if this continues to escalate. And then after the smoking ruins of London are finally revealed to the world, Russia will post a message. Does anybody else want to negotiate? That's going to be how this goes down. I think Russia, at least in my view, I think Russia's done. I think they're done with negotiation. They're done with playing games with the West. Domestically, their people are infuriated at the lack of Russian response, at least the appearance of the lack of response on these types of events. And Putin is probably, this is just my guess, I'm not an expert on Russian geopolitics, just to be clear, but my guess from watching this over the last 2 years and seeing the variance between the rather calm speech of Putin versus the speech of like Medvedev and Lavrov and others out of Russia, my guess is that Putin is going to be probably internally threatened politically by a lot of people around him in the Kremlin. And my guess is they're probably giving him an ultimatum right now, which is strike back hard or we're going to replace you. We're going to take you out, take you down. I don't know how that works in Russia. They don't have a 25th Amendment, you know, they don't, but usually it works through assassinations. But I would imagine Putin is being threatened internally is my point. And that's going to put Putin in a position where he has to somehow balance this. He has to have a strike that is aggressive enough to appease his own people domestically and to show the Russian people that, hey, you know, we're getting vengeance for you, basically. But then at the same time, that attack has to not be so exaggerated that it would initiate a nuclear escalation from Western countries. And I don't know where that line is, how you find that sweet spot, if it can be found, but it's getting more and more narrow by the day, by design, because the West wants Putin to nuke somebody, to nuke some Western European country, so that the West can then, you know, initiate world war against Russia. That's the goal. That's Senator Lindsey Graham's goal. That's been the goal of the neocons, even those in the Trump administration. I don't think it's Trump's goal, though. I think Trump is actually one of the few people holding this whole thing back. I really do. I think Trump wants peace. He wants to end the conflict. Trump wants trade with Russia. He wants to make deals. He wants to get cheaper commodities, cheaper energy. Trump wants to boost the U.S. economy. And that doesn't happen through war. But there are so many war mongers in the system all around Trump, in his administration, even in the White House, in his cabinet, etc., plus all the senators, that the pro-war forces are formidable. And in some cases, I mean, they'll fabricate fake intelligence, obviously, to try to get you to go to war. Or they'll pull a 9/11, which actually is what happened on 9/11. That was almost certainly a Mossad Israeli Netanyahu assisted operation to get the United States to go to war with multiple Arab nations and to take out Libya. That was almost certainly an Israeli-led operation with the, you know, the Bush deep state. So those same forces are trying to drag Trump into this neck deep, into a nuclear war with Russia. And they may succeed, but I pray that they don't. Now, General Mike Flynn had the following to say, and I agree with this. I want to read it for you because I thought it was very insightful. So here's General Flynn. It appears Zelensky gave the go-ahead to attack parked Russian nuclear-capable bombers without informing Donald Trump. And if true that our president was not consulted nor informed, this isn't simply a breach of protocol. It's a geopolitical insult and a warning sign. If Ukraine is willing to conduct strikes with strategic consequences without notifying the White House, we are no longer allies with coordination issues. We are, in fact, co-belligerents flying blind. That's a big deal. He goes on. He says, also given that Senator warmonger Lindsey Graham and Senator Danang Dick Blumenthal's recent visit, this attack could appear as though it was sanctioned. I pray the Russians have better intelligence than that. In other words, he's saying that he doesn't think the U.S. sanctioned this attack, and he hopes the Russians realize that. He goes on, in my opinion, these two don't have the sense, he's talking about the senators, these two don't have the sense or common sense to pull something like this off. FYI, those bombers that were hit have to be out in full view due to nuclear treaty obligations. Zelensky took advantage of that. For instance, they appear to have hidden the drones in containers and were driven on trucks near the airbase. That was a smart use of deception. However, imagine any one of our big bomber bases having the exact same thing done to them. Very costly U.S. strategic bombers can be taken out in the same way by anyone with access to inexpensive drones, delivery trucks, explosives, and a bit of technical knowledge. In other words, General Flynn is saying this is relatively easy for any motivated team to put together. He says, quote, people and especially world leaders need to realize the global implications to such an operation as Ukraine just pulled off. Russia will respond. Action, reaction, counteraction. Those are the shifting tides of warfare. This wasn't a bold action, it was brash. Ukraine's short-term win could be the world's long-term loss. Despite what is a complete mess right now in Europe, there are still solutions to achieving peace. They are narrowing, however, and time, as it often does, becomes an enemy instead of a useful friend. So there you go. That's General Flynn's message, and I think he's nailed it on that one. Rick Wiles, who I interviewed, posted, quote, "I'm over the Atlantic flying to Europe to attend a conference. I hope Europe still exists later this week. Western leaders are possessed by demons of insanity." And that is true. Yeah, that is true. So we're in a situation right now where just one spark could set off World War III. One spark. We're in a situation where I think everybody's got itchy trigger fingers. Maybe not Putin, but maybe he does by now. I don't know. Again, he's got a lot of internal pressure. We got a lot of insane leaders in Western Europe, the UK in particular, but also Germany, also France. Trump is not insane on this issue. Trump's trying to create peace. However, Trump is just not that well informed on the history of Russia and Russia's military doctrine and Russia's determination, etc. I think Trump lacks the cultural knowledge of Russia that is really critical for the president of the United States to have in this situation. I'm not blaming Trump for that. You know, you have to actually study it. And I'm not an expert on Russia, but if I were, you know, president, I would make sure I had a crash course in, you know, Russia's culture and military history and everything. And, you know, Trump doesn't even know that Russia won, you know, World War II in Europe. Trump thinks that America beat Hitler, right? I mean, he said that a few weeks ago, and all the Russians were just gasping. It was like in disbelief. What? You know, the Russians lost over 20 million people versus in the U.S., what was it, like 400,000? It's still a big number. I'm not discounting that. And the American troops fought valiantly, as did French troops, etc., and British troops. But the Russians paid the biggest price. The Russians did the heavy lifting. And the Russians have a culture of surviving war. And that's why you can't defeat Russia. You cannot defeat Russia. Germany can't defeat Russia. Ukraine can't defeat Russia. All of the West combined cannot defeat Russia. It is impossible. And I don't think Trump realizes that, frankly. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he does. We shall see. Now, there's also, I think, in my opinion, there's a very high probability that these drone containers are going to become a big thing now. And they're an obviously easy platform for deploying false flag attacks. So there could be a drone container just parked in a parking lot, sitting behind a, you know, a Walmart or a shipping warehouse or a logistics warehouse, just about anywhere in America, just sitting there. And then one day, you know, the top opens up and boom, out pop 200 drones. And what do? They go like hit people in a football stadium, or it's not even football season. No. Okay. I don't follow sports, but whatever, a baseball stadium, a soccer stadium, but they could kill, you know, thousands of people in a stadium event. And that could be blamed on Russia or blamed on China, or maybe it could be carried out by terrorists from country, whatever, right? So this is a whole new kind of warfare, and it's a very dangerous situation, and it's ripe for false flags. And now, finally, it doesn't take a genius to realize that there's a major holiday coming up in about a month. You know the holiday. It's Independence Day, July 4th. And on July 4th, this is the holiday that is closely associated with America as a nation. You know, Independence Day, it's the holiday where people wave the flag. It's the people, you know, with the fireworks and, you know, singing the national anthem, etc., right? It's a patriotic celebration of America. And Trump is planning some kind of a major military parade. At least that's what I heard. I guess there's going to be, you know, massive crowds and flyovers, and maybe we'll have like marching soldiers with really high leg kicks like they have in India or something. I don't know. Maybe they'll ride motorcycles and do acrobatics like they do, like the Indian military does. They look like Cirque du Soleil, you know? Maybe they'll do that. No, I'm kidding. It's going to be a giant event, probably hundreds of thousands of spectators. And all across the country, there are going to be events with lots and lots of spectators. Now, if you were an enemy of America, or if you were the deep state of America, and you wanted to carry out a false flag attack, wouldn't you choose July 4th? That's the day you could have the container drones open up and just unleash all kinds of drones. And nobody would even see them coming because it would be at nighttime when crowds are watching the fireworks. And frankly, once the booms began, most people would think it's just part of the show. Right? That's exactly what they would think. The screaming would be delayed until people figure out what's going on. So, and I'm not saying this to scare anybody at all. I'm trying to point out that July 4th, like this is the obvious attempted patriotic target by those who hate America. If they want to hit crowds, you know, if they want to cause terror, if they want to reset the system or bring it down or take down the power grid, July 4th would be the day to do it in order to cause maximum embarrassment to President Trump, which would be one of their goals, I'm sure, to discredit Trump and ultimately try to replace him. So I'm not saying that I have any specific information. I don't. I don't know what's going to happen on July 4th. And I hope everybody has a wonderful holiday. I think I'll grill up some steaks or something. I'm not going to go out anywhere. I'm not going to go. Nope. Not me. I'm not going to go watch anything. I'm just going to be hanging out and let my dogs chill out so that they don't get freaked out by all the fireworks that everybody's setting off. That's what I'm going to do. But if you want to go out to a crowd somewhere, just be alert, you know, be cautious. And understand that war has now changed forever. And the situation is going to be very sketchy from here forward. So I need to urge you, have backup communications. I'll plug our sponsor here in that space, the Satellite Phone Store, sat123.com. If you've got a backup satellite phone, you know, you can make calls after the grid goes down or, you know, in storms or natural disasters or wartime events, you can make and receive phone calls and send and receive messages anywhere on the planet, even from the oceans or land or anywhere, deserts, you name it, as long as you can see the sky. Go to sat123.com. And I would also encourage you to have a backup power source in place before July 4th, if you can. Either get a generator, or you can get solar generators from the satellite phone store, sat123.com. Or you can go out and buy a gasoline generator or a diesel generator. The brand I recommend, by the way, on diesel generators is Kubota. And I actually have a really nice Kubota. I think it's 11 kilowatt or a 14 kilowatt. I forgot. It's a pretty beefy generator that you have to move with forklift forks, which I have. You can get forks that go on a bucket on your tractor, by the way. And you can lift like pallets with your tractor bucket, as long as they're not too crazy heavy. But that's the way to move this generator around. And you know, it's pretty beefy. It can power a lot of stuff. You may not need one that large. Maybe you're fine with a 3 kilowatt or a 6 kilowatt generator or even smaller, maybe 1 kilowatt. But whatever you can do, you know, get yourself squared away with a generator, backup communications. Just be ready for crazy things to happen because we are entering that time period right now. Not only are crazy things about to happen in the Middle East, probably involving Israel striking Iran, but also escalation, you know, obviously with Russia and Ukraine, because the West wants war. They want World War III. Again, I think Trump doesn't want it. He's trying to stop it, I believe, but he doesn't have his hand on every lever of the whole system, especially not internationally. And the UK government is a suicide cult. Well, technically, it's a vampire pedophile suicide cult, but you get the point. The UK government is trying to destroy the British Empire, and they're doing a pretty good job, actually. If that's their goal, I mean, it's the only thing they're good at is actually destruction. They deserve an A++ for their destructo score. Well, I mean, I guess they have multiple skills. You know, the leadership of the UK, they're good at destroying their country, but also hiding the bodies of children after they've, whatever. You know, I mean, they got a couple of skills, is what I'm saying. They're pretty sick skills. Look, folks, you're dealing with demons out there, okay? You're dealing with demons. That's why it's critical. It's critical to have God on your side. It's critical to ask for protection, angelic protection. It's critical to operate from a place of good faith for humanity, operate from a place of love to help others, to help end suffering, to help end conflict, end bloodshed. But in order to do that, as a world, as a civilization, we have to defeat the demons that are running countries like the UK and Canada, you know, Australia, New Zealand, etc. We got to defeat and dismantle those demons. And that's the epic war that's actually underway. So, you know, warfare at multiple levels here. Just be safe in everything that you do. And if you want to follow more of my stories and podcasts, you can find me at naturalnews.com and brighteon.com. Thanks for listening. Take care. Thank you for supporting us at healthrangerstore.com. And we've got a new batch of turmeric in stock now. After a long search, the supply chains are really becoming more difficult. And turmeric, as you know, is often contaminated with lead. So, of course, we do mass spec elemental testing for lead, cadmium, you know, arsenic, mercury, and other elements. We found an ultra clean batch and we have it available for you now. I have it on my desk. We've got turmeric root powder, certified organic, laboratory tested, identity confirmed, all that, E. coli tested, microbiology, you name it. We've got it all for you at healthrangerstore.com. We do not have turmeric tincture back in stock. We're working on that, but we do have the turmeric root powder. And as you know, I include turmeric root powder in my own smoothie, which is why it's orange. It's why my dental work turns orange, which freaks out the dental hygienist as well. But that's another story. Okay, so if you want really good, high quality, ultra clean turmeric root powder, we've got it now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have, yeah, there's the screen showing it to you. We also have astaxanthin. Astaxanthin, Hawaiian astaxanthin, we have it right now in stock. Of course, this is known as the king of carotenoids. This is a fat-soluble, super potent antioxidant, and it's got a multitude of uses and benefits and support mechanisms for human health. Athletes use it. Lots of people use it. This is also what turns the flesh of salmon slightly pink. That's actually the astaxanthin that they're getting from their dietary sources. And it's believed to help support the natural athleticism and the endurance and stamina of salmon. That's just one of the many benefits of the king of carotenoids. Now, astaxanthin is in a dark bottle because it's sensitive to light. But it's very potent. You only need either 2 or 4 milligrams per day. We've got that available for you right now, healthrangerstore.com. We also have a supply of NAC in stock, N-acetylcysteine, which of course helps support the body's normal detoxification process with outstanding liver support and glutathione and so much more. So check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. Turmeric root powder, astaxanthin capsules, as well as NAC, all in stock right now, plus hundreds of other items that are also certified organic, laboratory tested, non-GMO, and we don't use synthetic, you know, colors, fragrances, fillers, garbage, none of that stuff, nothing like that. Ultra clean products for home, for health, for personal care, for nutrition, and also for long-term food storage, for emergency preparedness. Check it all out at healthrangerstore.com. And thank you for your support. We appreciate you very much. We couldn't do this without you. Thanks for watching. Take care.